All right, guys. It also tells us in the book of Revelation, white garments, that he has feet of bronze. It speaks of his great wisdom, his white hair. The feet of bronze speaks of his perfection as he walks, that we are being perfectly led by Jesus right now. I'd like our elders to come up here. What we got to do is get in line with what he's leading. And Jesus always leads perfectly, right? Always. We're just going, okay, I need to see where you're leading and have that understanding. Are you leading me here? Because if he is, it's perfect, right? Now, we really believe we had another kind of, well, we have many meetings through the past year about what's going on with Grace and what is the Lord doing. And last week, we met again before the big announcement. And I looked at these guys and I said, do any of us, we have all kinds of practical questions. And there's all sorts of, in those practical questions, some real, like, gosh. And I looked at this team and I said, do any of us have any doubts that are bothersome? Do we have any doubts that this is what he's asking us to do? And this, no, we are confident, at least here. Now, that being said, I want to open up, and I love what Jerry said last week, I suppose. One of the things was, we didn't make it clear enough that we're talking about something that has not been solidified yet. And I think we presented it as, hey, this is happening, just like this, and guys, just deal with it. What's really happening is we believe the Lord is strongly leading us in this direction. There's nothing signed on a dotted line. There's no contracts. There's no, you know, we are still open-handed with the Lord. Lord, how are you doing this? How do you want to do this? And I love how Jerry said, guys, this is the first step, us talking about it. And us talking about it means we really want to talk about it. We've got some great questions, some hard questions about how this works. And that's the kind of conversation, I had a conversation with a guy that said, I'm really actually concerned about this. That's the kind of conversation we want right now. So I don't want anybody to hold back, you know, I don't like this at all. That's totally game right now. We want to talk about questions that came in online. We're going to start with those and maybe answer some of the ones you might have in these questions. And after we get through these online questions, we'll open up the mic we'll just pass it around for those that have additional questions. Okay, so these are in no particular order. These are just questions that came in. They're not a priority of this question's the best question. We're just going to go through them. Will there be an opportunity in this facility sharing to revisit the times we gather? At this point, I mean, I think we're all open to that conversation. We haven't talked about it. That both of us, both Grace and Restoration, have given up a form of strength. And we used to start at 10, and now we start at 10:30. And we haven't talked about that. We're not opposed to talking about that with Grace, the start times, but it hasn't been a part of the conversation as far as now. But we're a little, you know, the person that had the question was kind of like, we'd like to be a little earlier. Is there any possibility of that? And I would say right now we're not having that conversation. We're not opposed to that conversation, but it hasn't even come up for us, and it's something we can talk about. Will there be combined efforts and building schedule accessible to anyone to see what's going on? I think what this question is asking is, will there be a public platform where we can see all the room use, how the facility works being shared? And if I miss that, whoever asked that question, when we go to Q&A, you can bring clarity to that. But yes, we are going to have a shared staff member. This is our discussion so far. We're going to have a shared staff member. We give a little money. Grace gives a little money to hire a admin secretary who has a platform, a Google platform of some kind, with all the rooms and when they're being used and how. And so if you need to use a room, you can email admin@rooms, or we'll figure out an email for it, and say, I would like to use this room on this night for this thing. And it's like, actually, that's already being used. We'll keep track of it that way. That'll be a shared role, a shared staff member that will be making sure that the rooms of the building are And if you want to use it, if you need to use it, that's how you move forward to do it. How will decisions on building, acquisitions, and departments be handled, and more importantly, communicated? All right, I want us to talk about this a little bit. One, somebody came up and they said, you know, it seems a little, I don't like that you guys have had a year to think about this and you spring it on us and we have a day. You know, like we've been thinking about this facility sharing thing. We talked about it last week. We're like, all right, here it is. Now, we've had a lot of time to ruminate on this, to think about it, discuss that was intentional. We kept this information intentionally to ourselves. Part of it is because of the dynamics of how Grace Church wanted to talk to their folks. Because if we talked to you guys and Grace wasn't ready to talk to their guys, guess what? We both live in Pagosa. And if we talk to you guys about what we feel like is doing and Grace isn't ready to say that, then we put them in that position that they have to say it because we started talking about it. And so out of respect and honor for where they were at in their process, we stayed quiet on what we felt like the Lord was doing. And I want to encourage you that we will be able to communicate this more clearly now that Grace is ready to talk about it with their folks. So, in saying that, how will decisions on building, acquisitions, and departments be handled, more importantly, communicated? I have some thoughts on this. This is something we could, and any of these guys, if you just, you know, hey, I want to speak into this question. As of right now, our hope is, at least for this leadership team, that this, and how will decisions on building, acquisitions, departments, who's using what, will actually not be the elders to carry. That it will be a different group of people. I'd like to see it made up of this church family and the Grace Church family and whatever, making those decisions and just spearheading that sort of thing. I think the elders could get bogged down real easy on just all the logistics of how these rooms are being used and how money's being spent and how the parking lot, like all that stuff. And so that's my two cents. But maybe that's not what the question means.
I don't know that I know what the question means, but I'm just hearing the words acquisition. So if you really mean acquiring buildings, we don't have anything in our plan to acquire a different building. So I just was reflecting on that word. So we're not sure what they were exactly asking, but that might be.
What documents will be in place should a worst-case scenario happen and we need to not be combined? That's a great question. We haven't really considered that. I think that's an important question. Right now, it's fairly simple. The actual moving forward of this, especially right now, it's fairly simple. Grace is stepping up with current cost sharing. So current cost sharing of utilities and, you know, we're talking about needing a new parking lot, current cost sharing with that, stuff like that. But as far as, like, what I feel like is being asked here is, at the end of the day then, if Grace starts sewing into this sort of thing, or let's say we do a remodel and Grace puts in a bunch of money, we put it in, who does the building belong to if it all falls apart? I think that's what the question means. And, gosh.
Justin.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg, or George.
One of our feelings is, let's liken it to renting someplace. When you rent a place, you don't have any ownership. If the pipes start leaking, you call whoever owns it. I mean, it's not your place. You don't have any vested interest in it or pride in it being the place where you live. And we're not talking about a rental here. We're talking about sharing a facility. We're talking about Grace having as much pride in this facility, this building, this house of God, as we have. Our hope is that they can begin, if they don't already, to feel as much at home here as we do, that this is our place. This is where we live. This is where we worship the Father. They haven't had that in how many years?
Forever,
I guess. That's right. They started what we have. And And so we're looking at it from a not an ownership perspective, but a place perspective, to be able to say, that's our place. That's where we go to worship. That's
together.
That's where we have our family.
Yeah, and that's, it's really, as much as I think I could speak for the team, that's where we really feel like the Lord has led our heart, to actually give up that right to ownership and to share it. Now, that's scary for what happens if it doesn't work? What do we lose? I don't know. I can't answer that question, and I don't know how to, you know, if there's some sort of a, you know, are we talking about a, what do they call those things? A prenuptial, you know, some sort of paper. We haven't considered that, honestly, because we really feel like we're supposed to give up our ownership and co-share it, co-own it. So, and that to allow grace to move into a home, something that they own too, something that is theirs, something that's ours together. I was talking to a person like, well, we've, now just here's a little bit of history. You could take, and this is a small town, we just get to talk about our mess, right? Let's talk about our mess for a minute. Many of the leaders and the folks that currently go to Grace used to go to Community Bible Church. And many of those folks actually bought this building. This building has been paid for since 2000. Okay, we became Restoration in 2004. Okay, so when we're talking about who owns the building, I used to be an elder at Community Bible Church, and I was part of raising this building. And so I know that we've all given, and this is the Lord's building, but there is a sense where we got to be honest a little bit and say, I came here 10 years ago, the building was already paid for. All the tithes that I've been giving help maintain it, but I sure didn't, you know, raise this building up with my giving, but a lot of the folks at Grace did. Something to consider. Will the title of the land be maintained in the current 501c3 entity? Yes, for now, yes. Yep, that we don't have any plans of changing that right now. Guys, there's stuff that we are not, I want to say this, there is things still in the works that this conversation has stirred up with other churches, with people who love the Lord, marketplace people in town saying, if you do this, this is something I could get behind. This is something I would love to sow into. The idea of a facility that belongs to the church in Pagosa rather than a particular church. And I think that there's something, there's more, we're not allowed to share right now because of, again, some folks aren't ready to talk about it, but there is, there's a greater increase coming to facilities. Whether that be our partnership of Grace allows us to expand these buildings, or whether it be more facilities or land gets added to this, there's more coming to the table. I just want to say that. I can say that with confidence, okay? And you get to find out more about that fairly soon. The last date I heard was the 19th of December. We'll see. I hope we can talk about it soon. Yeah. Jeff.
And my focus is on building, taking care of the place, and that needs to be done, what's coming forward. And I keep on hearing, we're hearing in spirit, and this is in the heart of everybody involved moving forward on this, and the facility sharing, really, I mean, I heard it from Ben before the pandemic, before Grace was here, before all this, that this was a community building. This was for everybody involved, and we were sharing it with other organizations even back then. And so I believe it's the heart of it. And is just, I was reading Acts 5:23, and it says, if it be of man, it will fade away, but if it be of God, we cannot fight against God. And I firmly believe that we are walking in God's will, stepping forward. But it's just the practicals, the working out. Everybody's been generous, open-handed, and we have not made any decisions on paper. Sometimes my impatience gets away with me. But it's just, we are moving forward slowly and very carefully, but also in prayer but it's just we're moving forward. Nothing's concrete, and Grace is very much has been excited and very generous as far as our conversations. So,
what steps are being taken to increase communication with the body and departments before this is finalized? Well, here's one right now. We're talking about a Q&A with you guys. We want to continue to see questions come in to our elder email, elders@restorationfellowship.net. We can answer you directly. Hit me up. I've had 3 people hit me up for coffee. We had 1 person come into our elder meeting. All that is available. We're available to you guys. That's how we're trying to reach out by right now, just having this communication, having this Q&A. In a minute, we'll open up to more. And we are always available to talk about this. Any of us. So really want to encourage you. If you got anything on your heart, we want to hear your concerns, your feedback, what you feel like the Lord is saying, all of that. I'm going to go to another screen. Give me a second because we have another email here. Okay. What structures and systems are being built to maintain the operation and integrity of the shared facility beyond just a shared facility calendar? That's a great question. What we want to do is we want to take our core values of saying what we believe is good stewardship of a facility. That goes along with our core values. So we are big in prayer and worship. So one of our core values is let's use the facility for prayer meetings. So for us, we prioritize if someone has a prayer meeting and someone wants to have a business meeting in our facility, we're going to pick the prayer meeting. Because it's a core value of ours. We're going to pick that over this other use and say, actually, our core value of prayer meetings is more important to us than whatever else we might use the facility for. And so we're going to prioritize prayer meetings. In the same way, Grace has a few core values. And we're going to combine those core values and say, for the use of the building, here's how we prioritize. Okay? So we prioritize building use based upon what we believe the core values and the vision of each church is, combine those, and that's how it gets decided how the building gets used outside of a Sunday morning. So we've already talked about that a little bit. I'm just reading the question. Okay. Let's say, so this is a theoretical question. Let's say that Restoration and Grace, the building's expanded, more land comes, that sort of thing, and this grows into a different entity, a different 501c3, something. How are we going to operate that? Okay. And I would say we've actually had a little conversation about this, and it's the same heart. The same heart would be there, that there would be a combined, call it a board, over the facilities that would be combined from all the churches that use that facility, and it would be theirs to maintain, theirs to keep it fair on expenses of utilities and paving parking lots and stuff like that between the churches and their use. That's what we would see. Okay, another question about communication. How are we communicating so that the leadership team, elders, ministry directors, deacons, are all on the same page in this process? And how do we keep our church in communication and on the same page? We will be more intentional, we're talking about this, but we'll be more intentional about actual decisions we want to make. Again, right now we're just saying, come join the conversation with us. And now we're going to move that to, okay, we have decided that we're going to have a prenuptial agreement, or we're not. We have decided that we're going to relinquish ownership and share it with you. We have decided, we're, you know, like those, we can talk about those decisions as we make them and bring you into those specific ones. We haven't made any yet, so here we are, right in the first part of this conversation. But we do have, the way that we're structured, and we do have a couple org charts out there on the table that you can see. We have elders over various ministry departments. And so for me, I am the elder over children, so I end up having a coffee with Tasha, our children's director, about once a month. How's your heart? How you doing? Let's talk about ministry. Let's talk about leadership. And that's the conversation that I have with her. What do you think about this facility sharing thing? And then we all are over various ministry departments, and we bring those conversations back together, and I communicate with our elders. Well, Tasha's actually really bothered by this facility sharing thing, and here's what she's bothered by. And we talk about it, and we go back and talk to her through me, and that's kind of how it works as far as our ongoing conversations with our ministry directors. And again, I'll say it from the beginning. I apologize that this is brand new, and we've been talking about it for a year. Again, we've been kind of, by honor, we want to honor where Grace was at in their process. They function differently than us. They're in a denomination. They're evangelical free. They have various, what do you call those things? Bylaws and things they have to follow in these conversations where we're just kind of, woohoo, we don't have those stuff. So it's easier for us, a little bit more free to move. Because we're not breaking any bylaws by saying, hey, we're going to share a facility, where they have to talk to people and they have to make sure that's okay with their greater denominational people. And I don't know how that all works. But I know it's more, there's more of a process there for them. And so.
Let me add a step about communication. So we understand that we're not great, and the way we understand that is, if people comment to us about weakness, they'll say, you don't communicate very well. So even though we're men, after a while, we start figuring it out, right? But one of the things that we're talking about, what Justin just said, I'm just reemphasizing that every ministry leader, so we're talking about youth group, children's ministry, food pantry, every ministry leader has a direct connection with us, one of us. So we don't all run over all of them. We have direct connections, and that's where we vision that we can talk about the important things that come out. The other thing is, all five of us lead life groups, and Jerry's in charge of life groups, so we also, that will be, when we talk about sort of speaking on the grassroots level, that is actually through life groups. And so I'm, you know, always plugging life groups, but that's where there will be discussion coming out, maybe not Sunday morning, but will happen in life groups. So if you feel a little left out, that might explain some of that too, and we'll just encourage you, join a life group. That's always a good plug. But we know we're not great at it, so we acknowledge that for you guys that are frustrated about that. We acknowledge it's a problem. The first step is admit you have a problem, right? And then we're working on that part, but understanding that we are connecting with ministry leaders and through life groups is probably the two real keys. And then Jerry will help the other life group leaders. There's a couple not here in the front, and Jerry will help, you know, make sure that they're having the discussion.
Good. Another question. Our facility already seems pretty close to full. What happens when we outgrow our current facilities? We expand. We'll just expand. All right? If we outgrow this, we'll acquire something, we'll add on. Right? We'll do that with grace. We've already talked about that to a degree. We already know this facility needs some upgrades. That facility needs some upgrades. So kind of looking at some of those things and how we can already make better use, or when we start doing some, you know, remodeling or updating, we have that in mind. What role will our deacons take in regards to the new shared facility? That is a great question. All these are great questions. Some of them are just more difficult to answer. This one's easy. Grace has deacons. We have deacons. Our desire is to actually place deacons. deacons in position that is their passion and gifting. So we have deacons that are really up to hospitality. They want to say hi to you in the morning, give you a bulletin, get you a cup of coffee. And we have deacons that really don't, they're kind of uncomfortable shaking everybody's hand and they'd rather do some fixing on the outside of the building. Okay, we have those kind of deacons. We have deacons that are, you know, geared towards different things. So we're going to take our team and try to set them into the areas that they're passionate about and that they want to do. And then we'll take the same team from Grace. And so we will have a shared hospitality team. In fact, we already do. We work together with Grace. We'll have a shared building maintenance team between the two of them. We'll have a shared, I don't know. Well, the decorations, Nancy and whoever else. Who's the other one?
Donna,
that come in here and secretly decorate. Guess what their passion is? Okay, we'll have that group as well. We'd want to see these folks, you know, really in the area that's their passion, give them authority to do it in a combined way. And so we've already talked about that as well. Yeah, go ahead.
I just, this is just on my mind, so I want to say it. Justin said the word combined a lot. Combined. And I just feel like it's necessary to clarify something. This hand right here is combined with this body, and this hand is combined with this body, but this hand is not this hand. So don't get worried about the fact that we're going to lose our hands. We're going to work together. I'm using both of them, but they're still different. And we will not compromise our core values to do this. And neither will Grace. And if you think about it, it won't be necessary to lose anything. We will just see a broader perspective in the ability to serve the Father.
The other question says, how, with all this going on, it seems like it might be easy to get off track, to lose our, and this is speaking to George, you know, George's thought right here, what's keeping us from losing our way as the Lord has just kind of put before us fivefold ministry, shared leadership, we launched this spring, we're still working on this, you know, and what's going to keep us on that track? Are we concerned we're going to lose our way? Actually, one of the things that came up at our elder meetings almost right away was this concern. And so we have our eyes on this. We're actually looking at we're going to do a leadership retreat for us elders in January where we're talking specifically about vision, restoration, fellowship, vision, core values, mission statement, how we staying on track, how we moving forward with this in 2022. So this is on our radar. I agree with this question. I think it could be easy if we don't keep our eyes on this and our eyes are on it. So that is all the online questions. So if I could get, let's see, an able-bodied, excited volunteer. Grayson Holloway looks super excited. So Grayson is going to hand out the mic to anybody that has a question, and we can do some Q&A. So hands up so he can come find you. The mic is on. Just go ahead and speak into it. Get up to your mouth so we can hear you.
When are we going to have a new carpet?
That's a great question. So we've actually talked to Grace about what we call capital expenses, expenses outside of our budgets. And we say, hey, in 2022, we'd like to see a new parking lot, a repaved parking lot, and new carpet. They've said yes to sharing the parking lot expense because we feel like that's the most urgent. And then the new carpet thing, they've definitely said, yeah, we could see, we need a new carpet. I kind of like being able to spill coffee all over. But yes, I mean, that's absolutely on our radar. We're talking about those things, the new carpet, the parking lot, some of the other, you know, things that are falling apart around here, sharing expenses with Grace and getting it on the 2022 budget. Great question.
I believe you guys pray together as an elder team. Have you considered praying together with their elder team?
Yeah, in fact, Mark, how long, I mean, for a while there, when this conversation first started, Thursday mornings was a combined prayer meeting with Grace Eldership, and that went on for some months. We've already talked about even combining some of our prayer meetings that we have ongoing here, the Monday mornings, the Friday nights, doing combined prayer meetings, even continuing that in a further, you know, collaboration of ongoing intentional prayer together. So we've had multiple strategy meetings that start and end with us asking the Lord in prayer to lead us and help us and guide us. As of right now, we don't have an ongoing one. The Thursday morning has absolutely been communicated. We want to start doing this in 2022. We want to see, and we're talking about doing a monthly joint Restoration Grace prayer meeting every month. That would be more than just the leadership, but the church praying together. So yeah, it's on our radar. Back there.
I have two questions. The first one would be, there are other churches and bodies in town that don't have facilities, and if they're being considered or engaged in conversation while we're talking about this.
Good. So yes, there's actually two other churches right now in this conversation. One I can speak of. One is The Gathering that meets next door. The other one is remaining anonymous right now. But wanting to step into that very same reality where they're saying, hey, can we help share costs? Can we have this be a permanent home for us that we have ownership in, and including them in that conversation? So yes, there are others. And especially now, I mean, like, we just got to talk about this last week, and the word is hitting the street. And we got people saying, you're doing what? And this is either great or it's terrible. But there's feedback out there, and more people are getting in the conversation, so yes. And we're open to that. If that's the question, too, like, are we open to greater than just Grace Restoration? Yes.
And so a follow-up question to that would be, what has the conversations been as far as there is, very specific doctrine that as believers we have a foundation of? Obviously, we have different beliefs, but as far as core doctrine, is there anything that has been in discussion of, if you don't believe these things, this
as far as the practicals of what those things are? But absolutely, that's part of the, okay, here's our core values, here's what we have, Grace does the same thing, that will serve as that platform where that happens. As far as we say, actually, this group can't meet because they don't line up with the desire to do that has set in place, but the practicals of it haven't been talked about yet, but the desire to do that has. So,
thanks.
Grace and Mary Sue in the red.
Well, I hope I don't get feathered and tarred, but through even just sharing the facility, I've kind of felt like a stepchild. Through, I feel like our time to worship was put back, and I just feel like that when I have heard what Grace wanted to do when they were going to build, it was a huge project, a huge thing. And what I don't want to happen is us to get in the middle of a huge project that's not what we want to do for this city. And that's just my concern, that we don't get swayed in that direction and it being more about a building instead of about people.
I think that's a great concern. I can assure you right now, there's no conversation like that as far as, hey, let's take and knock out this wall and do this huge expansion and let's buy property. There's none of that conversation right now. To speak to your concern, This leadership team doing this, one of our main priorities is to make sure we don't lose our way as an individual church. You know, whether that whatever that project might be or something, or even in this initial conversations, we are saying that clearly. If us, worthy of being who the Lord's called us to be and doing what the Lord's called us to do, we can't do it. So
I guess that's my question too, is that that may not be what their thought is now, but what if in 6 months or a year they come and say, this is what we really want to do. This has been in our hearts to build and do this. At that point, what can be done to change it?
Well, we'd be at the initial conversation, especially with Grace, because that's not in our heart to do. That's it, you know what I mean? Like what you just said, their heart is to do, you know, kind of or was to do a big project. That's where they're at right now as a church. It's saying, are we willing to lay this down and do this? So that would be, you know, that desire or dream to build some big Grace facility would have to die if they do this. Yeah. Yeah.
It's super easy also to think this is about a building. And we've said this in our combined meetings. And I'm going to say something that makes it more complicated instead of less complicated, because we know less about this. It's not about a building. I mean, and we can think about the end times. The building's not going to be here, right? And we're going to lose the building. That's going away, you guys. But what remains is the body of Christ. And I know less about that than about the building. Building's easy to talk about, right? Well, we really know where is God heading is this idea of somehow in the Spirit, he's doing some magical combining that's like, this is bigger than we would have guessed, right? And I don't even know what all the answers are. So in a way, I'm making it fairly easy to fix. You can do that even with lawyers and stuff, right? You don't need a prayer meeting. And that's our sense. And man, I'm not all that prophetic, but that's our sense of God's doing something little. And, you know, there's also, this is so complicated, but there's so much we really trust each other. As the leadership from Grace reveals their heart, we develop trust. There's just a bunch that you learn about each other, and the more you know and you've sensed their spirit, right, you just develop this trust. And so I hate to say it, but there's a lot of things we're doing that's like, we just trust our brothers and our sisters. And it's hard to formalize that, and it's hard to put a quantity to it. But I want to sort of stir up this vision, like, man, what is God doing, right? What is God doing in our community? And it's just, the building is involved, but that's not what we want to focus on or be kind of all consumed with. We're saying, what is God doing in the Spirit? And how does our strengths work for each other, our strengths in the gifting, the spiritual gifting? How are we going to, you know, help each other and strengthen one another so that ultimately the kingdom is moving forward? So I just wanted to review that.
I was talking, you guys know who Jim Downing is. I was talking to Jim about this. Just here, we had a coffee very recently. And he said, God will do no good thing that doesn't require faith. So there's an aspect. I think that that's partly true. There's a good thing that the Lord wants to do out of this, but there is a level of faith that we'll have to step into. Yeah, Scott.
Okay, I just want to add probably a little more a perspective rather than a question, because we came here in, 1994, when it was just that little building over here. So we were here when quiet little CBC moved into the charismatic, you know, spirit-filled, whatever we want to call it. And a lot of those people that are there left. I mean, we have known a lot of those people for 30 years or longer. We were part of, well, when we first moved here, we were part of Mountain Heights Church, and we were meeting in the Seventh-day Adventist building. So you talk about a fundamental doctrinal issue between those churches getting together, but we loved and respected each other. We weren't there all that long. They finally, you know, got together. Well, the church split a couple of times over building a building and where it was going to be, what it was going to look like, which is not the issue here, but, you know, we love those people. They are brothers and sisters. There was some people are all about, okay, we are restoration, or we are grace, or we are gathering. You know, there, and it's always been that way. But what Mark was just saying is exactly right. This is about Christians in Pagosa Springs loving each other, serving each other, ministering to this community and to this state together. We just had our daughter and her entire family move in with us. And that's similar to what's happening with this church, because this isn't the first time we've done this. First Baptist was meeting here, met here for a long, long time. We loved every minute of it. Some of us did. Some people had a big problem with that. So really all I'm saying is, you know, like we are learning, starting to know our children again, and learning how to live together in our tiny little house until we move out. So all I guess what I'm saying is, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's about the mission that God has. Whether we share ownership, it doesn't matter to me. I just love seeing a lot of these guys on Sunday mornings. It's not about the building. It's not about the definition of who we are as a word, and we're serving the Lord, and how can we mix and match those things? They're never going to mesh perfect Christians together. It never was that way. I mean, look at the Jews and the Greeks trying to learn how to be Christians together in the New Testament. You know? So it's all about, hey, we love Jesus, they love Jesus, and it's not even they. It's like we all love Jesus, and we want to do what God has called Pagosa Springs to do and to be for all the other people who are coming here. So I see this as a move in that direction, where people are coming here and know that the church in Pagosa Springs is working together and serving together and is all about missions.
Thanks. Thanks for the exhortation. Any other Q&A? I know it is getting, it's 12:30 now. This is normally when we stop. We got one right over here. So, yeah, we'll just make sure we remember who had their hands up.
Not to be naive, but if we don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths.
Yeah. Good. So over here, I think we had a question.
Okay, well, first I just want to say, I don't know if everybody knows that our church has allowed Classical Conversations and Valor that meets here throughout the week, and then there might even be more. And I've been a part of both of those, and just so blessed by that. And then even Rhonda Baker is my friend, and when her church needed a facility, they went to Justin. He said, absolutely, you come worship here, come use a facility. And I was just so thankful that that was my church that was opening their doors. And so I guess my question is just, in practicality, are those, you know, groups, Classical Conversations, Valor, like, are those still going to be, like, priority to be able to use the building?
Yeah, all ongoing things that we currently have are going to continue to go on. Yep. If you guys need to bug out, you can. Like, no one's going to think you don't love Jesus.
I think the thought that I'm left with is just a scripture verse that says, making the most of the time because the days are evil. And I just think the time that we're entering is a time of people who are going to stand with Jesus, Yeshua, this time. So I just felt led to share that.
So throughout this, these walls of isolation that we've built around ourselves, he's breaking them down because he's coming back for his bride. And he's not just going to marry restoration. He's not just going to marry grace. He's marrying his body. We are all part of his body. And we are all called to be his bride. And he is breaking down these walls of isolation, these walls and barriers that we've built in our hearts so that he can expand our foundation of community. Because that's what we are, is we are community, and he's coming back for this beautiful bride, and that's what excites me about this. I feel like this is just going to be like something that gets set on fire and just blows up, and it's going to be a beautiful thing, and it's not just, just individual, like, churches and stuff, but it's in our hearts, too. In our hearts, we've placed barriers and walls, and he's breaking that down. And he's opening us up, and he's putting us together the way that...
I feel like we've kind of moved into an exhortation time. And that's totally fine, if that's what we're... But if I just want to know, if you have exhortation, that's okay. But I just want to encourage you. Let's go right back here to Leah.
Just speaking to direction and making sure that we are continuing on that direction. I know that grace is set up a little differently, that the body votes on everything. So everyone gets kind of a say. They get kind of a general idea of how the congregation's feeling. And we don't operate that way. We operate on elders making decisions. I think I'm a little bit concerned that this big of a decision, is there a way that we can just get a temperature gauge so that we're not leaving people behind, that we're going forward together, that this trajectory, and not that that's the decision, obviously that's not how we're set up. It's like either what you guys are thinking, but because we are moving into some new things with our church.
Yeah, that's great. So I can promise you, just on our honor together, if we have a lot of concerns that come our way, that will absolutely affect our decision making, right? And so that's how we're tracking. We're doing it right now. By, like, if we went to this Q&A time and we had 70% of people saying, I think this is a terrible idea, that stops our forward movement right now. Like, the elders are not going to say, too bad, we're not, we're not going to do that. And I do want to say, so far, 90% of our feedback has been, pull the trigger, guys. So if you're out here saying, I'm not a pull the trigger person, let us know. And so that's how we need that sort of feedback from you guys. And we're reaching out the best we can by doing this in elders@restorationfellowship.net. You know, reach, let us know. Like, this is really how we vote right here. I mean, I know we're not taking a vote, but yeah, I think this is the Lord, or no, I don't. That has a lot of weight with us. So we'll honor that as a leadership team for sure. Yeah.
I just want to say, along the lines of what Justin is saying, I just want to encourage everyone here and the people who aren't here, the people that you usually sit next to, talk to them too. As an owner of a business and a manager for years, really want to know what everybody says, but if everybody doesn't say anything, you don't know. So their obligation to let them know what we think. Thank you, Mary Sue. I think that, like, we need, like kind of second rate now, you know? It's hard when you hear that, oh gosh, other people are thinking this is a good idea, and I'm not thinking this is a good idea. It puts a little bit more pressure on feeling like, am I not hearing right or whatever? And I just want to encourage everybody that you all have a voice. I think the leadership of this church wants to hear your voice in this. Please don't hesitate to reach out. Please don't hesitate to make, even if you feel like it's an unpopular thing, thought, please reach out and share.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate too, like this, I'll say it again. Say, thus saith the Lord, with confidence, he said this. I'm saying we're feeling firm or deny, this is the Lord. So please, I love that. There's no pressure on you to.
So I'm sitting here, what I'm kind of hearing is that there are people, we're concerned what happens in our mission. But what I understand is we're talking about we're coming together, you know, in the body. But Grace, I know, I'm sure Grace has a different vision and a different calling for what God is doing with them. They will continue on with that. Restoration has its calling.
Yep.
We will continue on with that.
Exactly. And where those two come together, we'll partner.
Right.
And where they don't, we'll...
I think that there's probably going to be some people who are thinking that we're combining into... Okay, this is hard to say.
About a merger.
We're not merging.
No.
We are partnering with each other in one. I think we need that. What your challenge will be is to making people, the body, understand that we're not going to lose, that we go together with that.
Yeah.
And anybody else that comes with us will be here because they know God has got a mission for them. So we can help each other hit those missions.
Yeah.
And hit those visions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So I've got that. Okay.
So we've got, like, we're going to share food pantry ministry. That's something we both believe in, something we want to do. We're going to hold a prophetic weekend and how to speak in tongues. And my guess is Grace folks won't show up. Okay? And that's okay. That is totally okay. So, yeah, where we can meet together, we will, on various things that happen, and where we can't, it's okay.
Just in line, you know, Restoration's desire for, like, the prayer room and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, with, like, a veto thing and saying, you know, no, we're not going to use a facility for that. Like, some board.
Is that conversation is being carried by the two elder teams and saying, what are we vetoing? And once we have that conversation and get it solid, we hand it off to people that we can give delegated authority to do that so we don't get bogged down in it. And then we maybe revisit it once a year or something and just say, yep, we're still saying no to these sorts of things and promoting these sorts of things with the facility. So yeah, yes, we are. That's where that checks and balances veto thing is going to lie in our intentional conversations together to create that.
Hi. We're kind of new, but I had a question about, and they've touched on it a little bit in some other questions, the spiritual authority. Because if you have a church that is very open to the Holy Spirit and one that maybe you just mentioned is less than, you know, when those differences come up, who kind of maintains spiritual authority of what is allowed in, you know, in this building or this group of people?
Sure. I think I understand the question. It's saying, like, will, because we're doing this, will, because we're sharing, will there be a, you know, people that are maybe in a different expression of worship saying, hey, we don't actually even like that you guys are playing drums, and so we don't want drums in the building. I know that's kind of, but that happened actually in the 80s, but... But, like, that sort of thing, if that's what you're talking about, on the front end, that's where we're having this conversation. Like, we value the gifts of the Spirit. There is no secret of that. And so when we're talking with Grace, we're making it clear, hey, we remain individuals on our core values, on our identity, on our unique calling, and we will not compromise on this in this facility sharing. So that's on the front end. Whether we have a document about that or some kind of, you know, paper signed by a lawyer, we don't. But we've been clear about that, and there's no, at this point, there's no authority that's shared as far as what grace doesn't speak into in an authoritative way what we do when we gather. And we don't speak into an authoritative way what they do when they gather. We don't insist that they have to have 30 minutes of worship or whatever. Like, that's not part of this conversation at this point.
Right. I guess part of my question was, you know, taking spiritual authority over, you know, the spiritual elements that happen here. And if one church doesn't believe in that, I guess, then if you guys do, you know, Restoration does, do you maintain, like, the spiritual covering? That was kind of my main question.
Yeah. I think I understand now where you're coming from. And I would say that I think it would be more of a challenge to, if we were talking to a church that in their doctrine said that, hey, the spiritual gifts are actually demonic or something, that might be a challenging conversation to have, that, hey, let's share a facility. That's not where grace is at.